There is great comfort in the familiar, but it turns out the familiar may not be the best place to cultivate creativity. A growing body of scientific research suggests one way to improve creative output is to form deep connections with people from other countries and different cultures. Here's NPR's Shankar Vedantam.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Adam, I'm Shankar.
Nice to meet you.
Not
long ago, when I was in New York, I stopped by the apartment of social psychologist Adam Galinsky. Upon entering, he made a simple request.
Do you mind taking off your shoes?
Not at all.
His wife, Jen O'Lyan, pointed to some house shoes.
Here's some slippers if you like.
Oh, great. Okay.
Galinsky admits that having a shoe-free house wasn't something he'd done growing up.
I'd never taken my shoes off in my own house before meeting, you know, dating Jen.
He grew up in a secular Jewish family in North Carolina. She grew up in Connecticut with parents who'd emigrated from the Philippines.
I think that, that's really made me think about space in a totally different way and sort of how people construct their worlds and their interior environments.
This small act of adopting a practice from another culture speaks to Galinsky's own research. He's found that allowing yourself to be influenced by another culture can spark increases in your creativity. In one experiment, Galinsky asked students to reflect on relationships they'd had with someone from a different country. Other volunteers, chosen at random, were asked to think about a relationship with someone from their own country. Galinsky and his colleagues then measured the creativity of the different volunteers using tests along the lines of the Dunker candle problem.
And the Dunker candle problem, you give them a candle, a box of tacks, and a book of matches. And you tell them, affix the candle to a wall in such way that the candle, when lit, doesn't drip wax onto the wall, table, or floor.
The test requires you to think about familiar objects in a new way.
A box of tacks can be a repository for tacks, but can also be a stand. And the solution is you dump out all the tacks out of the box, you tack the box to the wall, and then you put the candle inside.
In every creativity test, students asked to reflect on their relationship with someone from another country outperformed those asked to reflect on a relationship with someone from their own country.
There was a boost in temporary creativity just by reflecting on the intercultural relationship. And that was really driven by the fact that people felt that they had learned more about another culture, and that reflection on that cultural learning led to increased creativity.
Galinsky has also found real-world evidence of the phenomenon. Fashion designers and entrepreneurs seem to become more creative the more time they spend immersed in new cultures or the more time they spend in relationships with people from other cultures.
I think the big scientific conclusion that is very robust is that it's about really, truly, deeply understanding another culture is the key to enhancing your own creativity.
Christina Pato has found her own way to the same idea. She's a bagpipe player from Galicia.
In the northwest corner of Spain.
Pato learned to play the bagpipes as a child. By the time she was just 20, she'd released two albums and earned a nickname, the Jimi Hendrix of the bagpipes. Pato was also trained in another musical form. The classical music Pato played on the piano felt like a world away from the bagpipes. She kept the two musical worlds very separate. The audiences were different, the traditions were different. In her mid-20s, when she left home to pursue classical piano in the United States, she kept her history with the bagpipes a secret.
And I moved here. I didn't tell anybody around me when I went to Rutgers University to get my doctorate that I had another life.
But during her studies, she happened to meet a famous composer from Argentina, Osvaldo Golijov. They were discussing the cultural traditions of Galicia when Pato let slip the fact that she played the bagpipes.
And then his eyes opened even wider.
A few months later, Golijov invited Pato to an informal gathering of musicians. He told her to bring her bagpipes.
So there I was, like playing my instrument with a bunch of strangers. The only person I could recognize physically, it was Yo-Yo.
Yo-Yo?
Yo-Yo Ma, the cellist.
The most renowned and famous cellist in the world. What Pardo hadn't realized is that she had stumbled into a room filled with master musicians from around the world. They were part of a group created by Yo-Yo Ma. It's a collective known as the Silk Road Ensemble, and it brings together musicians from different cultures and different traditions. The vision for the collective, Pato says, is something Yo-Yo Ma calls the edge effect.
Which is the point in which two ecosystems meet, like the forest and the savanna. And apparently, in ecology, in this edge effect is where the most new life forms are created. And somehow Silk Road is some sort of his recreation of this edge effect.
It was a turning point for her. Christina joined the Silk Road Ensemble. Every performance, she says, is informed by a simple question.
What could happen when strangers meet?
Just as Adam Galinsky found in his scientific research, Pato says working with strangers from different musical traditions provides a great boost to creativity.
In Silk Road, you also have to keep going in meeting communities of people that you have never imagined of working with, and maybe putting together instruments that you would never think they would work together, like a Galician bagpipe and a Japanese shakuhachi. Somehow, to me, Silk Road is the metaphor of the 21st century society, or at least the wish I have for the 21st century society.
Shankar Vedantam, NPR News.